Welcome to the Lost Stop Podcast and the fifth edition of the Trans-Pyrenees Race, supported by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. Day 8 at TBR number 5 and Control Team 1 are waiting at the finish line in San Sebastian to welcome more riders home from the mountains. Out on the Ray Parkour, Control Team 2 are spending another day with those riders still traversing the Ray Parkour's many climbs and cols. That includes fastest woman in the race so far, Helen Fromenty, Cat 52. Some dot watchers may have noticed her taking a rather speedy diversion away from the parkour and back again. Here's race director David Eyre to explain the situation.
Yesterday, Helen Fromenty, the leading woman in the race, had a mechanical issue which caused her to be unable to ride any further, so she took transport to a bike shop as her bike was unrideable. So that is something that which we spoke about in the rider briefing. We talked about how if your bike breaks, you can take transport one way, but then you need to ride back to the point where you left the route, because once your bike is fixed, all forward travel has to be human powered. Unfortunately, Helen took the transport back to where she had ridden, and because I knew she'd been to the bike shop, I checked a little bit later on and saw on the tracking that the average speeds were kind of in line with a vehicle rather than pedal powered transport. So John, our comms manager, contacted her to double check what had happened, and she confirmed that she had in fact taken that transport back to that point as well, and then ridden on from there. So we spoke on the phone and I told Helen that if she wanted to remain in the race, she would need to ride back to where the bike shop was to correct her mistake and then ride along the route again from there. So in effect, kind of penalising herself, but also correcting the error that she had made earlier on in the day.
Hannah Lobelestier, race reporter in Control Team 2, manages to catch up with Helen in the town of Bagnères-de-Luchon.
I'm very happy to be here. Actually, it's a bit emotional. I stopped just there because it's my family house. I spent all my summer here in Luchon. So, yeah, I'm super happy to be here. And it's actually funny. I was taught how to ride a bike here by my grandfather. So it's a bit of a loop. That's great.
And now you're here racing bikes.
Exactly.
You had a bit of a difficult day yesterday. Are you feeling ready to talk about it?
That's the rules, and that was said in the briefing, and I should have known it. But I think with the like sleep deprivation and fatigue, I just like, so I did all the way around, because otherwise I would be out of classification. So I rode back like a loop of 60 kilometers. So I did the call again.
You're still the fastest woman on the road.
I think so. I don't know how long for, but yeah. I saw that Leila is doing super great as well. I'm super happy. She's a friend of mine. We both live in Lille, so I know her a little bit, and I'm super happy that she managed to do such a great race after what happened last year when she scratched. So, yeah. I can't wait to see her at the finish. And new day today.
Shortly after, Hannah also speaks to Tobias Fiskum Hogard, Cat 115. Despite being from Denmark, not known for its hills, Tobias is enjoying his first TPR, having followed both this race and the Transcontinental for several years.
Yeah. It was so nice, so beautiful. Smooth gravel without too many stones and not too steep. It was just fantastic. And the clouds, I can't remember the city I slept in, but the clouds and the sun over the city and the mountains, it was fantastic.
Do you know what's coming up? Have you done these climbs before?
Since I'm from Denmark and the highest mountain is 150 meters, I'm not yet that used to it, so no, I haven't. Coming here, I was in the Pyrenees for 3 days. So I did some climbs, but that's it. So, not really. And they were so kind at the hotel. They gave me a big pot of coffee. And even though I got up at 6, I just had a lot of coffee for breakfast. That was a perfect start of the day.
That's the secret to feeling so good on the gravel.
Might be. A little bit of water and then start climbing so you do not get cold. It's a smart way of starting the day, even though it's fairly hard climbing straight out of bed. But I mean, there's no choice, and it's so beautiful. So it's, I mean, you just have to look out of the sky and look down the mountain, and maybe you can see it. I was actually crying for the first 45 minutes today because yesterday I realized my wife and my daughter are coming to San Sebastian. No, they might be in San Sebastian now, and I just look forward to see them.
The team also run into Steve Hayes, Cap 108, who's quite taken by the charm of Bagnères de Luchon.
What the fuck is this place? It's like turning up in Paris or something. It's like the Champs-Élysées. It's crazy. It was really posh and fancy. It's great.
Wait until you check out the hotels. None of them have been refurbished since
the
80s.
Oh, of course that.
1880s.
I literally wasn't going to start. I just wanted to grab a pan of chocolat and be on my way. I got time limits. I got places to be.
Places to be, people to see.
Yeah.
He's a busy man.
Do you know what? I've had a shocker for a couple of days.
Really?
When did I see you last? Checkpoint 5. So from there, the adventure started. So I said, gravel road. Well, my gravel was a bit different to most people's, I think.
I'm guessing you were hiking over that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever had a look at my route. Have a look online. You'll love it. Yes. Did anybody else go that way?
A couple of people.
Did they?
Yeah.
I was discovering new species of plant life up there. I honestly didn't think any other humans had been there until I saw this dry stone wall from the 1600s, and I was like, thank God for that, somebody has been here. After that, I had a couple of okay days, I think. I can't remember much. And then this morning, I got up, I slept in a place called Mel, I think it was, Marie de Mel. Slept there, got up, ready for a 36-hour battle to try and get to the finish before 5, 6 o'clock tomorrow. And then my chain snapped. And I spent nearly 2 hours sat there, because my hands don't work at the moment, because of the cold and just everything else. So I sat there for nearly 2 hours on the side of the road this morning at 5 o'clock, playing with a master link, a little Shimano master link that was slightly bent, and I was trying to sort of twist it back into place and get it to fit. It was pissing me right off.
Liz Seabrook is one of our photographers at the finish line in San Sebastian. She's also been part of the Lost Dot media team on several of the races, including the TCR, which means she knows a thing or two about capturing riders as they live out such a life-affirming experience.
I think it's a very hard thing to do, to sit and have your picture be taken when all you want to do is eat a lot, have a shower, maybe, depending on the rider. And go to sleep. So it's quite a lot to ask to sit and have your picture taken and to look interesting. So I am aware of that. I think the thing is just to wear your experience. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be anything. You just have to sit there. You don't have to do anything but show the ride you've had. And if what that is pouring a beer all over your face because you're so relieved and grateful that you've done it and you also just really want a beer, then let that happen. You don't have to be on ceremony.
Grace Pine has two roles at the finish line. She's one of our race volunteers in San Sebastian, but she's also waiting to welcome home her partner, Joost Klarenbeek, Cap 66.
I am here because my partner is racing and he is doing super well. It's been quite the emotional experience on both sides. I've actually never... He's raced, but only when I've been racing, so I've never actually experienced this side of the fence while he's out there and I'm not.
Is it frustrating? Is that the right word to use, maybe?
I don't think it's frustrating, but it's been harder than I anticipated. Because you care and you want someone, but I'm also so acutely aware of how fucking hard these things can be. I've not done anything anywhere near this big, but I do think it definitely plays a part into the anxiety of like... And I've noticed that when my phone rings, I'm like instantly panicked, even if it's all good. Because I think also when you, he generally is ringing me when he needs me. And I think although that I'm here partially for him, I also wanted to, having raced a bit myself, I wanted to experience what does it look like to see all these people finish? What does it feel like? And how do I potentially be part of it in a different way? Because I do think that the racing piece isn't just about racing for yourself, it's racing for the community. I think that this kind of weird world of ultra racing brings together some really amazing people, and quite often people that you wouldn't ordinarily meet. And it takes a huge amount also to get these things off the ground, people to the start line, the friends, the loved ones. It's rarely just about the racer. And I think it's interesting to take yourself out of your normal routine, mine is pretty intense, and actually go and experience, go and hang out with different people, see what happens behind the scenes, what does it take, how long does it actually feel like when you're not racing? These hours are dripping by so slowly, but when you're racing, it's like bam, 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 so fast. So I just think it's just been like really interesting to see it from a different perspective.
Back out on the route, Hannah runs into Leila Sabuti, Cap 72. Today is her birthday, which she'll be spending alone and exhausted, riding up and down the cols of the Ray Parkour. She's the second fastest woman and has been riding a phenomenal race. It's just hard to appreciate the magnitude of what you're doing when you're right in the thick of it.
It's hard. Yeah. But today's my birthday.
Happy birthday! Oh, come here.
Oh.
Have you had lots of nice messages?
Yeah. And people who don't know I'm doing this race, so they're like, hey, I hope you're having a nice day. I imagine you're on your bike. I'm not having the best day. I'm really slow. And super emotional all the time. I feel really tired, exhausted, and I don't know if I'm gonna make it, and that makes me sad. So I did a PowerPoint presentation to my parents before the race, and it said my goals were that I wanted, no matter what happened, to be proud of myself. And I also had like whole slides on safety measures, sleep strategy. Nothing's gone according to plan. I was like, I'm going to sleep 4 hours per night. Like, I was like, don't worry, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to eat well and sleep well and make sure I take care of my body. But yeah, it's been hard.
Yeah.
It's really a roller coaster because I keep thinking like, am I going to make this? Am I going to scratch? Am I going to... And every time I cry. And so I'm like, am I going to be able to be proud of myself if I scratch? I don't know.
So who's this on your aero bars? You've got a photo stuck to it.
That's my mom. That's my dad. That's my non-binary sibling. That's my sister and that's my nephew, who just turned 5 and he knows how to bike. He's a big fan of Tadej Pogačar.
Cool.
And then I have this.
You got this. So Layla's phone background says you got this.
Yeah. Not sure I do anymore, but...
Afternoon on day 8 and Adam Whitehead rolls into San Sebastian just before 4 p.m. to become the 7th rider into the finish.
That was pretty much the hardest thing I've ever done, I think. It was it was pretty hard work. I had planned to be here probably 12 hours before or something like that, but after the end of the parkour, it sort of spits you out in this sort of... It sort of feels like the end of the world. And it's all misty. It was all misty. And like, took up a couple of moments to send a message to some family. And then the raindrops started coming down. More and more came down. And then it was torrential. A bit windy as well. It just feels like such a massive achievement. It was so hard. I mean, it was. You're right when you say it's like a beautifully hard race. You know, like it was, particularly I think this time of year in autumn. Even when you leave and you're kind of at the kind of, it feels like you're at the beginning of autumn, and then you kind of come back and just a week later, quite a bit's changed. Pretty fantastic.
And you were.
Thank you. I think.
As evening approaches, Control Team 2 position themselves at the end of the Ray Parkour. several riders are now completing the 679-kilometre marathon mission across the French Pyrenees, with the finish line now just a couple of hundred more kilometres away, and much flatter kilometres at that. Stephen Kennedy, Cap 107.
You're nearly at the end of the raid parkour.
Yeah, very very happy about that.
You must be feeling a bit euphoric about that.
Yeah, I'm worried about not having any food, though. So, well, I do have some food, but, you know, still in France, so...
Where does your route go from here? Are there any resupply points close by? That's what you're checking out at the moment. I can see it up on your Google Maps.
There's a couple of towns, but it's... I won't be there for a few hours, so... Bit of a worry, but...
Is there much climbing en route to get there? Is it hopefully all descending?
No, there's a... It's all pretty hilly around here, isn't it? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think it's... There's one big climb between here and the town, so... See where I make it in time.
You're running on fumes, then.
I've actually got some food, but...
You don't want to eat it?
Yeah, because, I don't know, now it looks like I'm not going to... So close to the finish that... Just keep going, I guess, and just have whatever sleep I need. But yeah, if you run out of food, then that's going to be sad.
The wildlife in the Pyrenees is always a talking point for our riders at TPR. Jonas Weisbach is at the end of the raid parkour after a day where he got to encounter a new addition to this year's list of animal sightings.
Yeah, this morning was pretty spectacular.
Where were you?
I slept in La Manche, just like... 3 kilometers below the peak of Tourmalet or the Col. I just slept there like for 3 hours and then I went up to the Tourmalet peak at like 3 o'clock at night. And so the clouds cleared up and there was the star sky, so that was beautiful. But I just rode there. And I just saw two llamas at the side of the road, like just sitting there. And I was like, you know, I was traveling a little bit in South America, so I'm kind of used to mountains and llamas. And so I didn't initially like thought like, what? And I'm like, wait a minute. Those were two llamas, like just sitting there chewing some grass. So that was just so ridiculous. It's so funny. And then the obisque afterwards was so nice as well in the morning. Just been a bit in trouble. Because I wanted to be very efficient today and I had to stop for photos all the time. Also took a photo of the llama just to see that I was not hallucinating or something. So.
Those riders completing the raid parkour have now been in contention for a top 10 position for much of the race. But at this stage of proceedings, they tend to be a little more philosophical about the reality of completing the challenge. Tobias Johansson, Cap 114.
I race and... do that as good as I can, and then what the others are doing, so that's up to them. Yeah. But I did check a little bit in the end, but not so very much.
I guess it's good to have the motivation sometimes. But like you say,
yeah.
It's your race.
Yeah, it is, and I try to do that as good as I can, and if that's enough for like 9th place an hour, if it's enough for 15 or 20, or I mean, it'll be what it is. As long as I feel that I have done as a good race as I can do, then I'm happy with that. I really like the raid parkour on the way back. That's really nice, I think.
Yeah. And the surprise bits of gravel in there as well. The eight gravel sections.
Well, we can discuss them another day, maybe. Right now, it's not the time.
Will Ward, Cap 121.
Are you feeling the pressure? We've got two riders approaching.
I know, quickly get my gloves on, I've got to go.
Got to keep them at bay.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about your position?
Not really, to be honest. When I came into this, like the objective was, sort of 3.5-fold, which was stay safe, have fun, finish. And then the 0.5 was in GC.
So the position doesn't really matter as long as you get there in the GC cutoff.
Yeah, I think so. But if I get to insert name of French town,
Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port.
Yeah, then I think it'll be fine tomorrow. So, yeah.
Most of us know what it's like to spend a good day out on the bike. It can test the body and clear the mind. A race like TPR is that times a thousand. People who ride these races over many days and huge distances often talk about being in the ultra bubble. Or, as Rael Masink, Cap 100, puts it, a state of mind.
Well, for me, it's when I'm cycling, it's also cycling in general. I do it a lot just to get out of my mind and into, you know, body, and just that feeling of not having to think about everything all the time and finding problems, trying to solve it. I mean, doing a bikepacking race, you do have problems in solving, but it's not the type of things you worry about when you're at home or when you had a long day at work, or those type of worries. And that's why I like to do these things, to get out of my mind, be in my body, just be in the surrounding, and there's nothing else. So it's like an empty mind, except for all the practical stuff. But that's just, you know, keep something like very slowly busy. But that I really love that. Yeah, and in the broader thing, I think it's it fits with my personality, I guess, doing this and liking it, and how that works also with how I try to live my life. But the afterglow is also there, also with the communal aspect of an event like this, that everybody does the same thing. You have this big group and everybody cheering for each other, so it's a competition, but it's also friendly, and that glow will stay on.
Pero qué es una croqueta, parecida a una croqueta.
It's really,
Join us in our next episode on what will be the final full day of riding at TPR number 5. This year's finishers party takes place in the evening, but the final cutoff for riders to finish inside general classification isn't until 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. So there's still plenty of time for those riders out on the Ray Parcours to reach San Sebastian in time. You can read Stuart's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dog website, and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.